أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله كما هو أهله، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وخاتم النبيين أبي القاسم محمد. وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، واللعنة دائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى لقاء يوم الدين. دعاء وفي مام صاحب الزمان عجل الله تعالى فرجه. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقاعدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك توعى وتمتعه فيها طويلا، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. صلى الله عليه وآله محمد وعجل فرجه. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد وقول الحق وهو الصدق الصادقين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وأقم وجهك للدين حنيفا فطرة الله الذي فطر الناس عليها. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us opportunity and a chance that we get together here and we understand and listen the message of Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salatu wassalam. Because if you want to perform, if you want to live best life, and if you want to live a perfect life, we should follow the perfect leaders who are 100%, 100% perfect. They don't have any defect in their lives. Because if you see toward the life of Prophet, peace be upon him, toward the life of Ali ibn Abi Talib, like once Prophet, peace be upon him, asks Ali ibn Abi Talib, "Ya Ali, if somebody treats you negatively, if somebody treats you badly, what kind of attitude are you going to be showing to him?" Now, this is one of the places where how we can deal in our family. If husband is not treating nicely with his wife, or wife is not treating nicely with her husband, or whatever, there's any problem between brothers and sisters and parents and children or kids. Now, same thing and same hadith, Prophet, peace be upon him, is saying, "Ya Ali, if somebody treats you badly, what is going to be your response?" Ali ibn Abi Talib is saying, "Ya Rasulullah, I will treat positively. I will treat him very nicely." Prophet, peace be upon him, asks again, "If this person repeats his bad action, wicked action again, how you are going to be treating him?" Ali ibn Abi Talib says, "I will treat him nicely." Then this question was repeated a third time. Ali replied the same reply. Now Ali ibn Abi Talib says, "Ya Rasulullah, as long as this person is going to be treating badly, I, Ali, will be treating nicely and positively toward him." Why? The reason, says Ali ibn Abi Talib, tells us the reason, "Ya Rasulullah, when he's not ready to leave his bad habit, why should I leave my good habit? I'm not going to be leaving my good habit because of him. He's very arrogant and very stubborn in his bad habit, so I should be stubborn in my good habit." This is the character of Ali. Unfortunately, nowadays people come, they say, "Molana, the world we are living is the world of give and take. You give respect, you get respect." No, brother, this is not the world of give and take. This is not the character of Ahlul Bayt, give and take, give respect and take respect. If you give a dog bone for 7 days or 10 days, then when you whistle, the dog will shake its tail and come toward you. Why this dog is coming toward you? Because you have given it food for 10 days or 7 days. Give and take is animalistic character. If somebody is treating nicely, responding positively, because he's treating me positively, is a character of animal. Responding good action with good action is animalistic character, but responding bad action with good action is character of human being. This is what Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam are teaching us. But unfortunately, the world we live in is a world of materialism. People are looking for materialistic world, and we are going far away from our fitra, from our nature. The verse that I recited in this verse, Quran is saying, "Fitra wa aqim wajhaka lid-din hanifa fitrat Allah alladhi fatara nas alayha." Every person who is born in the world, he's born in the fitra and the nature according to the nature of Islam and deen and madhab. But unfortunately, his parents,
or her parents are changing his fitrah, are changing his nature. Every person who is born in the world, he's born with the fitrah, his nice and beautiful and good fitrah of Islam. But unfortunately, people are misguiding. And one of the things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in our fitrah, one of the very beautiful quality is the quality of love of pleasure. This is a quality which Allah has given it to us. That we love pleasure. And this is a very positive thing. We should use this quality to be better. But shaitan misuses the same quality. He says, you love pleasure? Yes, we love pleasure. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. All right, pleasure is love. Pleasure is make a very big high bank balance. This is pleasure. Gather money. This is pleasure. Drive a luxurious car. This is pleasure. Buy a big house. This is pleasure. Have haram relationship with somebody. This is pleasure. Eat whatever you want to eat, haram or halal. This is pleasure. Drink whatever you want to drink, haram or halal. This is pleasure. The quality of pleasure is given by Allah to us, so we can use this quality to go near Allah. But shaitan is using the same quality, love of pleasure, and telling us this is pleasure. But Allah is saying, oh man, I have given you this quality to show you the small blink of a pleasure. I want to give you a pleasure which is limitless, which is endless, which is eternal, which is everlasting. I will give you a pleasure which never ever ends, which will remain with you forever, no matter how tasty food you eat. In the end, after 8 hours, that food is changed into dirtiness. No matter whatever you do, this is why Ali ibn Abi Talib says, oh people, all the pleasure of the world you are looking for, entire pleasure of this material world is equal to spit in the eyes of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Allahu Akbar. Why did he say spit? Because the spit has two qualities. The spit is very small amount of water in our mouth. It's saliva called. So spit is a very small amount of water. And second quality of spit is dirty. Means the pleasure of the world is short term. And secondly, it's dirty as well. It's not clean. This is why this pleasure is given for us. There's a philosophy behind it, that if we don't have the pleasure of eating, we are not going to be eating, so we would die. If we don't have pleasure of drinking, so we would die. We would get dehydrated and we would die. If we don't have pleasure of marriage, so we are not going to get married, so we would not have any kids and no generation and human being will finish. So this pleasure Allah has given it to us for some philosophy. But shaitan is using the same pleasure in a negative way. Allah is saying, oh man, I have given you this pleasure. I want to give you eternal pleasure. If you're looking for food, food is not your final pleasure. Animal can enjoy food more than you. Look at the cow. Cow can chew for entire night, but we can't chew. Means animal is enjoying this pleasure more than us. So if animal is enjoying this pleasure more than us, so mean this is not anything, this is not fadila, this is not superiority. Look at the other animal. They can enjoy their marriage life more than human being. So they have more power than us in their marriage pleasure. So this is not the real pleasure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying drinking, eating, sleeping, or marriage pleasure, all these pleasure are there. But these are not the target. I want to give you a pleasure of speaking and communicating with me. You talk to me, I talk to you. You worship, and this is the final pleasure. But this pleasure is not given to everybody. This is why narration says, once Prophet Moses was going to Koh Tur, to the mountain of Tur, he saw a young boy. And he asked a young man, I'm going to the mountain of Tur. Do you have any message to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He says, I don't have any message to Allah. Just tell him, I don't want, this young man was a bad mannered young man. He says, Moses, tell your Lord, I don't want your food. I don't want your water. I don't want your rizq. I don't want your barakah. I don't want your rahmah. I am happy what I have. Moses was surprised. Prophet Musa, what a bad mannered this guy is he? Prophet Moses went to Koh Tur, to the mountain of Tur, and he gives all the messages of the people. When Prophet Moses was returning, Allah tells to Moses, oh Moses, you didn't give me the message of one of my creature. Moses said, Ya Allah, he was a bad-mannered boy. He gave a very negative message. Allah says, no matter how bad he is, but I am the Lord and God of every single creature I have created. Give me his message. Moses gave the message. Allah responded to Moses, oh Moses, tell him, if you don't want the risk, risk, but I will give it to him. I will give it to you. If you don't want barakah, but I will give it to you. If you don't want rahmah, but I will give it to you. But Moses tell to that young boy, I have deprived you from the best thing in the world. I have deprived you from the best quality in the world. I have deprived you from the greatest blessing in the world. I have deprived you from the pleasure of ibadah. I have deprived you from the pleasure of worship. I have deprived you from the pleasure of dua and supplication. If a person is doing sin after day, if you are feeling, I'm not feeling any kind of pleasure when I'm praying namaz, when I'm reciting dua al-kumail, my eyes are dry. This is an alarming sign. Eyes are a very good test for us. If you are not feeling pleasure listening masaib or reciting dua or praying salat, this is an alarm. This is a siren for us that we are doing sin. Allah has deprived us from the pleasure of ibadah. Try to do astaghfirullah and ask Allah what kind of sin I have committed. Have I done ghibat? Have I done something wrong? Have I done sin from my eyes? Have I eaten something haram by mistake or purposely? What I have done? Start thinking about it. If we are deprived from the pleasure of ibadah. So in the world we have three kinds of pleasure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given it to us. Number one, the pleasure of material pleasure. Pleasure of eating, pleasure of drinking, pleasure of sleeping, pleasure of marriage. These are all the pleasure Allah has given it to us. But remember, if you go in deep, you'll find these pleasure are not real pleasure. The pleasure that we have in the world, material pleasure, these are not real pleasure. These are actually resembling to real pleasure in hereafter. How is that? Let me give you an example and explain it to you. How these pleasure, if you go deeply, philosophers say that the pleasure in the world are not the pleasure. They are just reduction of pain. They are not pleasure. In other words, mean there is a pain called hunger. This is a pain, all right? When I'm eating food, I'm getting relief from this pain. When I'm getting relief from this pain, and that relief is considered for me as a pleasure. I mean, this pain, this pleasure is actually not real pleasure. It's just reduction of pain. There is a pain called thirst. When I'm feeling thirsty, it's a pain. When I am drinking water, I'm feeling very comfortable. Actually, there is no real pleasure. The pain is getting rid of. I'm getting rid of a pain. The pain is going away, so I'm getting relief. And because of that relief, I'm feeling it as a pleasure. In the same way, there's a pain called tiredness. When I'm tired, I didn't sleep for 14, 18 hours. When I'm sleeping, I'm having a very sweet sleep. Where did this sweetness come from? From that pain, actually. When that pain was gone, sweetness came. In the same way, there is a pressure goal called sexual urges. When I'm getting rid of this sexual urges, this pressure, I am feeling pleasure. Means all the entire pleasure, drinking, eating, sleeping, marriage pleasure, they're not pleasure. They're just getting rid of a pain. And because we are getting rid of a pain, we are having a relief. So that relief is turned into pleasure in our life. So in deep, if you go, these pleasures are not even pleasure. So this is the first type of pleasure. Second type of pleasure are fake pleasure. What are they? Like, for example, I have a pleasure of that I'm driving a very expensive car. I'm driving Lamborghini, I have Lamborghini, whatever lower Rolls Royce. I'm driving very expensive car. Or I'm having my marriage ceremony done in a whatever, you know, very big 5-star hotel, all these things. These are not real pleasure. These are all fake pleasure. These are worse than the first category. These are totally out. These are fake pleasure that human being creates by his imagination power. They are not real pleasures. Third category of pleasure is the spiritual pleasure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given it to us. And this is the main cause and reason that Allah is pulling us toward this pleasure. If you want the real pleasure, this pleasure will remain forever with you. But unfortunately, Allah is giving us cash. Shaitan is giving us check. Shaitan is giving us cash. Allah is giving us check. Allah is telling us, I will give you later on and hereafter. But Shaitan is saying, here is cash, here is the pleasure, you can have it right now. But Allah is saying, no, I will give you later on. We are taking the cash, we are preferring the cash of Shaitan over the check of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is saying, I will give you the pleasure which will remain forever, which is gonna be endless, which will be limitless. Because all the pleasure of material pleasure are limited. If you eat a lot of food, you will have a stomach ache. You will abuse your stomach. If you sleep more, you'll have headache. If you drink more, you'll have kidney problem. In every pleasure which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in the world are limited, are not eternal. They are not forever. They are temporary. But Allah wants to give us eternal pleasure, pleasure of spirituality. How can I develop this pleasure of spirituality? Remember, if you look at the world, many people, like the story of a businessman, he went to Mashq from Tehran. There was a businessman who used to live in Tehran. He went from Tehran to Mashq to visit the tomb of Imam Ali Ridha alayhi salatu wasalam, salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. He went to visit the tomb of Imam Ridha. He says, this time when I went in Haram, I was not feeling any kind of spiritual pleasure. I was just going as a dry ibadah, just going and touching the ziyarat and kissing, going back. 7 days I was there, every day I had the same situation, no difference. I was surprised, what happened to me? When I was opening the ziyarat of Imam Ridha, I was reading Assalamu alaykum, Ghareeb al-Ghuraba. I was not feeling, my eyes were totally dry, no tear. I was surprised, what's happening? It was the last day, my return ticket was at evening time after Maghrib. It was afternoon time, I prayed namaz, Zuhur and Asr. And after I did the ziyarah, same situation. I came out of Haram walking. In the way, I saw an old man who was carrying a very heavy bag on his back. And he was not able to carry it. He was walking very slowly. I told to that old man, if you can't carry this bag, why are you pushing yourself so much? Why are you so greedy? He says, you don't know my current situation. What's the situation of my house? I have a young daughter. I want to arrange some money for her marriage. I don't have any money. That's why I'm working more than my capacity so I can find some money and I find some arrangement for my daughter's wedding. He says, can I come to your house as a guest? The old man was thought for a while that I don't have anything. How can I call this man? He said, all right, you are Habibullah. You are Habib of Khuda, beloved of Allah. You are invited. You can come as a guest to my house. He says, I went there. I saw they had a very small house. And he had a wife and a young daughter, and they didn't have money to arrange a wedding ceremony for their daughter. Because I was a businessman, I was a wealthy guy, so I took out a check, and I wrote a big check for them, and I told them that this is a check. You can arrange a wedding of your daughter with this money. He says, when I was leaving, the mother of that young girl, they were crying so much and giving me du'as and supplication and thank you. And at that time, my heart was also broken. And I went in the Haram of Imam Ridha. Now when I opened ziyarah, my eyes were not only dry, an ocean was coming out of my eyes. I thought, what happened? How Imam Ridha is welcoming me within 5 minutes. A minute ago, I was the same person. There is no difference. A minute ago when I came, there was no response from Imam Ridha. But now when I come here, Imam Ridha is welcoming me. And I can feel that Imam is welcoming me, literally. What happened? Yes, I helped some widow. I helped some poor people. I helped some orphan. I helped a person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me that pleasure of spirituality. If you want the pleasure of spirituality, you should help other people. You should see how many widows are around in my country, in my vicinity, in the place, in my family, people who I know. How many orphans are there? I should find poor people. When I do this, obviously I'll feel the spiritual pleasure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give me this spiritual pleasure. Spiritual pleasure is not for those people who commit extreme sin, because there's a hadith, when a person commits sin, there's a black dot appears in his heart, and then he again repeats that sin again, that black dot gets bigger, then he repeats the sin again, that black dot gets bigger and bigger, and in the situation, his whole entire heart is covered by that black dot. Then his example is like those people, summun bukumun umyun fahum la yarja'un. He has ear, but he's not going to listen again. He's not going to listen to anything. He has tongue, but he's not going to say the right thing. He has eyes, but he's not going to read Quran. He will do haram with it. Why? Because the door of guidance are closed. His heart is filled up of all dirtiness. His heart is filled up of sins. These are the places we come and we say to Imam al-Hussein, Ahlul Bayt, that we are the sinful people. but we want your shafa'at. We want help from you. These are real spiritual pleasure. We are coming. Now, alhamdulillah, you are here. Why did you come here? Are you getting money? No. Are you getting some bonuses? No. You are separating your time, especially for Hussein. What kind of pleasure are you getting? You have to drive all the way from your house till here. You have to leave your other problem, other affairs, other things. You have to come here. What kind? And then you are crying and you are beating your chest. If an ordinary person is going to look at us, you're going to be saying that what kind of people they are. They are beating themselves. They are crying. Yes, we are doing. You might be not understanding what we are doing. We might spend our time. We might give sacrifice. Okay, these are the problems we might face. But these problems will fade away. These tension and these problems and these struggles will go away. But the pleasure of dhikr of Hussein will remain forever. This is the pleasure of dhikr of Hussein, dhikr of Ahlul Bayt. Remember, if you look at the human's creation, let me give you an example that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually in our natural life, Allah is calling us toward this pleasure, but we are not realizing, we are not understanding. Look at the baby when it's in the mom's womb. Baby is little baby in the mom's womb, it remains there for 9 months. Now, if somebody is able to talk to the baby and tell him that, you know, you are a little baby, you are being fed through your belly button, and what you are eating is actually your blood, nothing tasty, nothing good. If you come out of your mom's womb, you will have milk, you will have your mom, all these things. If you talk to the baby will respond to you, I'm very happy, whatever I'm eating, I'm having the best pleasure of the world. Because baby is thinking, what I have is the ultimate pleasure. What I have is the absolute pleasure. What I have is the best thing. Now, when baby is born, baby starts crying. Why? Because he was very happy in there. He didn't want to come out. Okay, now when he came out, mother, his mother started giving her milk, all these things. Now, he's very happy with the milk. Now, if you tell baby that, you know, I will give you chocolate, I will give you biscuit, I will give you biryani, I will give you shawarma, I will give you chicken, meat, baby is going to be saying, no, I'm very happy with my mother's milk, you know. While this milk is nothing really tasty, that milk is also made up of blood, mother's blood. But the child is thinking, this is ultimate pleasure. I can't have it. He can't imagine more than that because that's the limit of his thinking. He was very, I don't want your biryani and chicken and chocolates, all these, I'm very happy with my mom's milk. Because the baby is thinking my mom's milk is the best of everything. But when gradually, step by step, the child grows up. Now he's 6, 7. Now he's eating chocolates, he's eating chicken, he's eating meat, he's eating burgers, everything. Now he's thinking, oh my God, I was thinking my mother's milk is everything. But now there are so many tasty things available in the market and I can really enjoy them more than milk. Now milk is not really a great thing for him. Before he started from the blood, he was being fed by mom's blood in his mother's womb. And then later on he took a step further. Allah gave him a bigger pleasure of milk. And then later on Allah gave him the bigger pleasure of food and everything. Now if you ask from this 6, 7 years old baby, I'll find a wife for you. This is a bigger pleasure. He's going to be saying, thank you very much. I want a bunch of chocolates. I don't want a wife. Thank you very much. Because he can't think more than that. That's the final limit. But then when this baby grew up, he became young, 18, 19, 20, he got married. Okay, he got the marriage pleasure as well. But now when he grows up gradually, day after day, he goes 40, 50. Now after 40, all those pleasure that Allah gave him gradually, step by step, are gradually declining day after day. He can't eat tasty food so much because of his stomach, because of his teeth. He can't see so much because of his eyesight has gone weak. He's hearing higher because his ear has gone weak. He can't have marriage pleasure so much because he's now weak. What happened? The trend is broken. There is an anomaly in between. Allah's trend was this. He started from the blood in mother's womb. Then he gave us bigger pleasure of milk. Then he gave us bigger pleasure of food. Then he gave us bigger pleasure of marriage. But now all these things are gone. Why? Because Allah is saying, whenever I take one small pleasure from you, I replace with a bigger one. I want to give you the bigger pleasure, but you are not thinking. I want to give you the spiritual pleasure. I want to give you the pleasure of ibadah, pleasure of worship. But unfortunately, this man, old man, he's having artificial teeth to eat more meat. He's using some digestive enzyme to have digestive system better. He's using, buying medicine, a capsule to have being a strong man. All these medicines are being used by him. He's thinking, I should be as I was young. No, you shouldn't be. You are created, human being is created like this. When he was born very weak. And then he grew up, he became very strong. And when he was strong, he was about to become arrogant. Immediately Allah made him old and gray. Old and gray, you can't be arrogant. Your peak will not remain all the time. Your youth is not static. Your youth and your age is dynamic. You will go, you started from a decline and your end is decline. In middle there is a peak of yours. You are very good in peak, but this peak is just given to you as a trial. And your end and your beginning is almost the same. Child and old baby are almost the same, So Allah is telling us that all the material pleasure is taken from you to give you bigger pleasure. But we are not looking for that bigger pleasure. We are just so much busy in these material things and looking for whatever we can see, whatever cash we can receive from shaitan, from our nafs. We are looking for those. In these nights, we come here to take a step further, to go. Unfortunately, these potential that Allah has given to us are all intact. People are buried under the graves with all these potentials. And these potentials are not utilized. These potentials are not used. How we can use them? Like when somebody came to Ayatollah Bahjat, Ayatollah Bahjat was a great arif. Same thing. He used to pray his namaz. It was unbelievable. If you see, it's available on internet. Right, Ayatollah Bahjat namaz or prayer. His prayer was unbelievable. He used to get the same pleasure like Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam taught us. Once in one of the battles, Ali ibn Abi Talib's feet was wounded. An arrow strikes Ali ibn Abi Talib's feet. And that arrow goes all the way in the bone. And some companion came to pull the arrow out of the feet of Ali. Prophet, peace be upon him, told him, don't do that. A companion asked, Ya Rasulullah, should we leave it as it is? No, don't leave it like that. What should we do? When Ali starts namaz, and when he puts his forehead in sujood in sajda, then pull that arrow out of the feet. And history writes, when Ali ibn Abi Talib puts his forehead in the sujood, they took out that arrow which was going inside the bone of Ali. The whole entire place was filled up of blood, but Ali had no idea what's going on. Ali didn't even know. Where was Ali? People are going to be saying, oh, it's totally unscientific. Where was Ali's nervous system? Was not working. Nervous system was working. But Ali was drowned in the worship and the pleasure of ibadah that he was not able to realize anything. He was not realizing the pain. This is the same message of Hussein. Before I give you this sentence of Imam Hussein, I just want to give you, nowadays, probably you have kids, you have, alhamdulillah, many of you are married, you have kids. Nowadays, what normally in England, in other countries, even in Asian countries as well, they have started something called when woman is having delivery. They say that there is a chance, an opportunity for husband to come in the labor room and hold the hand of woman. And if you tell them, what's the reason? Is there any medical reason? They say, no, it's not medical reason. There is a psychological reason. If husband comes and holds the hand of wife when she's having delivery, what will happen? This wife will feel and understand, my beloved, one who I love him the most is with me, all right? And that, because of the loved one, beloved one, she will feel less pain. Her pain, her intensity of pain will go lower because of her husband. This is totally psychological issue. And psychology is probably very new knowledge. It's probably 200 years old, not more than that. Science is very old knowledge. Even from the time of Prophet, there was to be science. But psychology as a knowledge is just 200 years old knowledge. Very recent and new knowledge. And this research is also new. So you might be having experience of this research in your own personal life. So they say if your beloved one is with you, you will know, you are not going to feel the pain. Same thing what happened with Ali ibn Abi Talib when he was in sajda. And same sentence of Imam al-Hussein. Normally we recite this in Masaib. It is Masaib also, but it is a lesson also. When Imam al-Hussein was holding little infant Ali ibn al-Asghar, and he was struck by arrow, there was a sentence of Imam al-Hussein. Beautiful sentence, full of Philip, and gives the same example of the same example, psychological sentence, and full of iman. The sentence was full of iman. What is his sentence? He says, "Ilahi hawwana li al-amr li'annahu bi'aynik." Oh Allah, this tragedy that my little baby is dying and crying in front of me is a great tragedy for me. But this tragedy is now turned into a simple thing for me. Why? Because you are there who can see me. You are beside me. You are next to me. If you are next to me, no matter what kind of problem I face, my problems are changed into pleasures because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the reason when companion of Imam al-Hussein were those people, they never used to complain. They never complained. They used to say to each other, "We are thirsty. 3 days we didn't get water." But remember, when you go in front of Hussein, don't show your face that you are thirsty. Keep smiling. Because we don't want the problem and the pressure of your face would be transferred from your face to Imam Hussein's heart. They were such a loyal companion. And Imam al-Hussein, if you want to see the pleasure of ibadah, Imam al-Hussein, when he was leaving the tent, he says, "My sister Zainab, remember me in namaz ishab. Remember me in midnight prayer." Imam Zain al-Abidin says, all the way from Karbala to Kufa, from Kufa to Sham, none of our ladies missed their midnight prayer. Their hands were tied behind their necks. They were sitting on a camel. Their hands were tied up, but they never missed their midnight prayer. This is why Sayyid Sajjad, Imam Zain al-Abidin says, once I saw my auntie Zainab was praying namaz ishab midnight prayer, and she was sitting on the ground. She couldn't stand up. I asked my grandmother, my auntie, "What is the reason you are praying like that?" Bibi Zainab says, "My son Sajjad, in prison, food which is given to us is a very small amount of food is given it to us. And then I distribute entire food between the kid. Now your auntie can't stand up. I had to sit down and pray my namaz." As-salamu alayk, ya Aba Abdillah. Ya Hussein, I am very far from Karbala, but I am sending my salams to you. As-salamu alayk, ya Abna. As-salamu alayk, ya ibn Amir al-Mu'minin. As-salamu alayk, ya ibn Fatimata, Sayyidati Nisa'i al-Alamin. Say together, call your imam. As-salamu ala al-Husayn wa ala Ali ibn wa ala awlad al-Husayn wa ala These are the days when Zainab has left Karbala. She has gone toward the Sham. She has left Kufa. She has gone toward the Sham. And Allahu Akbar, Ahlul Bayt has faced so many tragedies and calamities that we can't even imagine. There's a narration. A person who was holding the spear, a soldier was holding the spear on which
Hussein's head was there. He says, the spear went in the ground. I tried to take out the spear. I was not able to take out the spear. He goes to Shimr and says, oh Shimr, this is spear on which the head of Hussein is there. It's not coming out of the ground. Shimr comes and he tries, but he was not able to take it out. Shimr goes to Imam Sajjad and he starts beating Sajjad with the lashes on his back and says, Sajjad, tell your dad to move forward. Sayyid Sajjad comes toward the spear and raises his head and looks at Hussein's head and says, oh my dad Hussein, I can't take any more wounds on my back. I can't take the lashes of Shimr anymore. What's the reason you are not moving forward? Hussein replied, my Sakina has fell down off the camel. Some narration call it Ruqayya, or some narration call it Sakina. It was the four-year-old daughter of Hussein who fell down off camel at midnight time. Bibi Zainab got off the camel. She started searching Sakina or Ruqayya, whatever name has come in the history. Little daughter of Hussein, where are you? Bibi Zainab saw a very strange moment. There was a lady wearing black dress. Her face was covered and Sakina was sleeping in her lap. Bibi Zainab was surprised that little daughter of Hussein never sleeps in the stranger. Lab. How comes that she's sleeping with the stranger lady? Bibi Sakina comes forward and cuddles Sakina. Bibi Zainab cuddles Sakina and says to that lady wearing black, oh lady, thank you very much. All the way from Karbala to Kufa, from Kufa to Sham, nobody showed any love toward my daughter. You are the first one to show love to my daughter. You have favored me. Thank you very much. On the day of judgment, I will tell my mother Fatima Zahra that you have favored me. It was that point when lady wearing black says, oh Zainab, you didn't recognize me. It's me, Fatima Zahra. When Hussein left Medina, I left Jannatul Baqi.
ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلب. اللهم ادخل على أهل القبور السرور. اللهم اغن كل فقير. اللهم اشبع كل جائع. اللهم اقض دين كل مدين. اللهم فرج عن كل مكروه. اللهم رد كل غريب. ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلب.